The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, civil society group asks government to implement policies for protection of country's natural resources. More district chief executives named. Police administration wants recruits who join the service with dubious motives to resign before they are flashed out. Baby-making home in Abia State of Nigeria raided by police. Waves of anti-government protests sweep across more than 100 cities in Brazil. And Swedish court jails Rwandan for life for role in 1994 genocide. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The fourth annual Civil Society Review of Natural Resources has asked the government to ensure effective implementation of policies to protect the country's natural resources. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the program coordinator of CASA initiative, Zakaria Yakubu, said lack of clear guidelines for the effective implementation of natural resources has given room for the current challenges in the mining sector. New recruits of the Ghana Police Service have been warned to disabuse their minds of seeing the service as a gold mine. Addressing 409 recruits at the passing out parade at the Volta Regional Police Training School in Ho, the Director General of the Ghana Police Service in charge of operations, COP John Kudalo, said the police will deal with any new officer who joined with the sole motive of becoming rich overnight. Nigerian police have raided a home in Abia State and freed 16 pregnant women who were allegedly being forced to have babies to be offered for sale for trafficking. The police said they have arrested a man suspected of running the home, adding that he was arrested on similar accusations 2 years ago, but it was unclear what happened to the previous case or why he had been freed. And a Swedish citizen of Rwandan origin, Stanislaw Imbanenande, has been sentenced for life for his involvement in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. Imbanenande was found guilty by a Swedish court of taking part in several massacres of ethnic Tutsis in the 100-day genocide in which about 800,000 people were killed. He is the first in Sweden to be found guilty of genocide.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The fourth annual Civil Society Review of Natural Resources has ended in Accra with a call on government to ensure effective implementation of policies to protect the country's natural resources. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the program coordinator of CASA initiative, Zakaria Yakubu, said lack of clear guidelines for the effective implementation of natural resources policies has given room for the current challenges in the mining sector. He spoke with Yaya Kwamwa.
The highlights of the communique focus on issues that civil society thinks are very important for priority action from government. And it borders around mining issues, forestry issues, climate change, oil and gas, land issues, and also fisheries issues. Some of the highlights were around the overall understanding that there is a need for our government and all of us to play a key role in ensuring enforcement and implementation of our policies and laws in the natural resource sector. But one of the biggest challenges is the lack of implementation of the policies and laws. That is why we are now seeing the emergence of illegal mining, illegal logging, and a number of other illegal activities. So the primary governance challenge is how do we enforce the laws in the sector. Another issue that is also emerging from this review is the need for us as a country to have a very comprehensive policy that regulates how our natural resource issues fit into our long-term development perspective. For example, if you take the mining sector, as of now, as a country, we will not have a comprehensive mining policy. And that mining policy is supposed to guide us to see how we take mining as a contribution to our overall development and how mining issues situate in our national development.
Civil society groups have always been pushing for the implementation of policies that will inure to the benefit of the larger society. Unfortunately, these policies do not see the light of day. What difference do you think this time around your appeal or your demand will be adhered to.
I think this also came up because civil society reflected that what do we need to do differently to ensure that the issue that we've been raising over the years actually get attention and action. And there were a number of options that were coming up. One option is to strengthen our engagement with Parliament, have more rigorous engagement with Parliament to let them understand the issues. Another suggestion was that we need to strengthen other advocacy approaches, like even going to the court to challenge government for the lack of implementation of certain legal regimes.
Program coordinator of CASA Initiative, Zakaria Yakubu.
President John Dramani Mahama has renominated the following as metropolitan, municipal, and district chief executives in the Ashanti and Central regions. They are Digraft Fukur, Asantiachin South, Samuel Apiakubi of Insu North, Edward Kusi Ayakwa, Setra South, Adams Ibisa, Kwabre East, Opon Chichiku Keitri, Evija Kwabre, Peter Light Kumsen, Ejumaku Inyan Isiam, Sabina Apiakubi, Asin South, Henry Hafron, Infantiman Municipal, and Aka M. Yankee, Upper Dangerous West. A statement from the Office of the Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Kwesi Oponfusu, said the President has also nominated Samuel Adumbuchi for Isikuma Odobin Brakwa.
Parliament has constituted a 15-member ad hoc committee to make recommendations to the House for the modification of Article 1815 of the 1992 Constitution. The article deals with the contracting of loans, entering into international businesses, and other economic transactions to which government is a party. It has been observed that some state institutions have been contracting loans and engaging in international transactions without seeking parliamentary approval. The committee is mandated to reconsider Section 5 of Article 181 and make the needed recommendation to ensure that the right procedures are followed in the best interest of the state. The committee is to report back to the House after 4 weeks. The Director General of the Ghana Police Service in charge of operations, COP, John Kudalo, has admonished police officers who join the service with the intention of using it as a gold mine to reorient their minds immediately. The police administration will therefore deal severely with officers who join with the sole motive of becoming rich overnight. Mr. Kudalo gave the admonition when he reviewed the passing out parade of 409 recruits at the Volta Regional Police Training School in Ho. Correspondent Emmanuel Akapa has sent this report.
The Director General of the Ghana Police Service in charge of operations, COP John Kudalo, expressed worry about the spate of the get-rich-quick syndrome in the service and called for a change of attitude. He noted that the profession is a noble one that needs dedication, honesty and sacrifice in order to maintain peace and tranquility in the country. Mr. Kudalo charged the personnel to see their selection into the service as a call to duty rather than to amass wealth. According to him, the trainers after their course should be able to perform their roles in the service with minimum supervision and advise them to display professionalism in their field of work. Mr. Kudalo cautioned them against the abuse of power and asked them to protect the vulnerable in society. Outstanding recruits were awarded with Adonu Solomon as the best in drill, Malik Isaka best in musketry, Numu Ibrahim as best in physical training, while Simon Agbanavo received the baton of honor for being the overall best recruit.
That was Emmanuel Akapa's report.
The latest graduates of the police training school have been tasked to collaborate with their counterparts in the fire service and other security agencies to tackle the frequent fire outbreaks at homes and marketplaces. This is because the loss incurred through such disasters is not only of economic concern, but threatens the safety and security of individuals and the state. A reviewing officer, Commissioner of Police, COP, Hamidu Mohammed Mahama, gave the task at the passing out of 449 recruits of a training school in Kofodia in the Eastern Region. We bring you the details.
COP Mahama pleaded with the public to cooperate with the young recruits to discharge their duties fairly and in a friendly manner instead of corrupting them. COP Mahama further urged the recruits to strive hard to maintain self-discipline, be dedicated to service to the admiration of their families and the state in general. They should also remember to use force only as the last resort when it is absolutely unavoidable in the discharge of their duties. The recruits course covered subjects like criminal law and procedure, law of law of evidence, criminal investigations, basic officer survival skills, weapon training, physical training, drill, human rights, and police ethics, among others. Awards were given to the best recruit and the best in academic work. The award went to General Recruit Emmanuel Apiadamsing.
That was a news desk report.
The Ghana National Fire Service has identified mishandling of accident victims as a major cause of casualties during accidents. According to the Chief Fire Officer, Brigadier General John Bosco Guiri, most deaths that occur during accidents could be prevented if the victims are professionally handled. He therefore urged the public to always call on the Ghana National Fire Service to rescue victims during accidents, rather than taking up the responsibility, since the fire service is a professional body trained to rescue victims. Brigadier General Guiri was speaking at the 2013 National Extricating Challenge of the Ghana National Fire Service in Accra. Linda Goji and Phoebe Papu were there for Radio Ghana.
Road accidents are a daily phenomenon in the country, claiming thousands of lives yearly, as well as disabling many others. It is for this reason the Ghana National Fire Service periodically organizes road rescue competitions among personnel across the country to improve their knowledge and skills in rescue operations. The Chief Fire Officer, Brigadier General John Bosco Guiri, stated that the service is prepared for any rescue operation but called on government to properly resource it.
When there are accidents, we are able to do the best that we can. People have fallen into well, septic tanks, and those who know, when they call us, we go and we try to extricate them. It's a multifaceted service. We do more than firefighting. So it's an issue of getting the requisite equipment, and that is gradually being done.
Deputy Minister of the Interior, James Agauga, noted that over the years, much attention has not been given to other areas of the Ghana National Fire Service. He pledged government's continued support towards the service in its effort in rescue operations.
Government will adopt a holistic approach. It appears much of the attention is focused on firefighting as opposed to their rescue and extrication. And yet that is an important aspect of their mandate. We would now begin to aggressively equip them in that regard to be able to respond to the rescue aspect of their function.
It is on record that Ghana and South Africa are the only African countries qualified to take part in the world stage of the road rescue competition. The ongoing 2013 National Extricating Competition is among the various regions in the country, and the region which emerges winner will represent the country at the world stage in Florida, USA in October this year.
That was Linda Goji and Phoebe Papo's report.
In its quest to grant a fair trial for parties in the National Labour Commission suit against the Government Hospital Pharmacists Association, GOSPA, the Financial Division of the Fast Track High Court has adjourned the case for parties to file all the necessary legal documents. This is to allow all the parties respond to processes filed. In this regard, the presiding judge, Justice John Ajit Nassam, has cautioned that he will not entertain further excuses from the parties. Earlier yesterday, counsel for the National Labour Commission, Afiba Amihia, urged the court to proceed with the hearing, though the commission was served with a supplementary affidavit by GOSPA yesterday morning. Counsel for the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Augustine Ahame, said his side needed time to scrutinize the documents filed. The National Labour Commission dragged the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and GOSPA to court for failing to comply with its directives. It is seeking an order to compel the commission to enforce a judgment it gave relating to the confession difference in respect of GOSPA. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Civil society group asked government to implement policies for protection of country's natural resources. More district chief executives named. Police administration warns recruits who join the service with dubious motives to resign before they are flashed out. Baby-making home in Abia State of Nigeria raided by police. Waves of anti-government protests sweep across more than 100 cities in Brazil, and Swedish court jails Rwandan for life for role in 1994 genocide. Stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Esiedu Nketiah, has urged members of the United Kada Front to take cognizance of the current democratic dispensation when pursuing their revolutionary principles. He intimated that it has become imperative that the methods they applied in prosecuting their revolutionary principles cannot be applied in a changing environment. Mr. Esiedu Nketiah made the observation at the first annual National Afarikuta Memorial Lectures and National Cadres Awards at the Pastoral Center in Sunyai. Correspondent Emmanuel Mensah-Bludu has filed this report.
The thrust of the twin event speech was towards enhancing our social democratic order, the role of the cadre. Saw hundreds of cadres in attendance from across the country. Mr. Esiedu Nketiah talked about plans to establish a social democratic institute and the need to demonetize the country's politics. The Deputy Bonafu Regional Minister, Justice Samuel Eje, told the cadres that they have a duty as citizens to ensure that the country is governed at all levels in an honest and more transparent manner, but decried what he described as factional party agitations in parts of the country. The General Secretary of the United Kada Front, Felix Efanamnyaku, paid glowing tributes to cadres and all well-meaning Ghanaians for defending the revolution and emphasized the need for cadres to expose saboteurs. The event was also used to launch the Young Cadres League and a newspaper of the front known as the Kada News.
And Mensah-Bludu filed that report.
Ghana has been commended for its support to refugees over the years. Thousands of refugees enjoyed Ghana's hospitality, which they described as one of the finest. The commendation was made at a roundtable in Accra to mark this year's World Refugee Day. Ibrahim Donko reports.
Ghana plays host to over 18,000 refugees from 29 countries, most of whom are from the sub-region. It has since the early 1990s witnessed the influx of refugees, especially from Liberia and Cote d'Ivoire. It is against this backdrop that Ghana is being praised across the globe for her stable political climate and the spirit of solidarity by her people towards all peoples. This year, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees is focusing on the family as the world marks the day. It believes the family plays an important role in conserving cultural heritage and also in the maintenance of solidarity. The chairman of the Ghana Refugees Board, Kendra Sass, said Ghana continues to receive refugees, and in the last 6 months, the board recorded the arrival of 235 displaced people. She enumerated some challenges involved in managing refugees.
Ghana is generally acclaimed as an island of peace in turbulent waters. It is not just an acclamation, but this is founded on facts and statistics. Today we play host to as many as citizens from 29 different countries. We are host to refugees from Angola, Central African Republic, Iraq, Kenya, Sri Lanka, Mali, Pakistan, Syria, and Uganda. This hosting comes with their challenges, and the challenges actually would appreciate come in the form of financial inadequacies, institutional challenges relating to capacity building for a very young board like the Ghana Refugee Board. I wish to add also that we have communal challenges that relate to acquisition of land.
A Togolese refugee who spoke to Radio Ghana thanked government and the UN for coming to their aid. He pleaded with governments to collaborate with their various governments in finding lasting peace to enable them to go back home.
Despite the protection of refugees, the first priority is always asking the government of Ghana they should get involved in the situation in our home country, seeking a solution which led us to free our country. Because we free our country, but we still have family over there. So we are appealing to the UNHCR and the government of Ghana to get involved in the situation in our country.
The round table brought together civil society organizations, UN agencies, and the media, among others.
That was Abraham Donko's report.
The national coordinator of NADMO, Kofi Potofi, says the organization does not have relief items to support residents of Tetegu and its environs if they become victims of flood. Mr. Potofi said though the organization is mandated to provide relief items, it has been taken unawares by the disaster. He made the remarks during a tour of the Wager Dam site and some flood-prone areas in the Gasawa municipality. Here is a report by Rabna Paha.
Mr. Potofi, together with the Gulf South Municipal Chief Executive, Jerry Akwe Thompson, first visited the dam site to ascertain its current level. The senior artisan at the site, Andrew Esifo, said two of the spillage gates have so far been opened because the water level had risen to 47.3 feet. He said although this could cause flooding, engineers are working hard to manage the spillage. The team then visited both New and Old Wager and other communities likely to be affected by the spillage. Mr. Potofi tasked the assembly to immediately demolish structures built along the dam. The Ghana Urban Water Company about 3 weeks ago announced its intentions to spill excess water from the Wager Dam to prevent the dam from collapse. Since the announcement, the Gulf South District Assembly has undertaken preventive measures at alerting residents living along the dam to evacuate to avoid possible disaster.
The Rabnapa House report.
A law lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism, Osei Kujuru Ado, says the arrest of some suspects connected to the recent fire outbreak in Accra and Kumasi markets is not a guarantee for them to be prosecuted. He said proper evidence to buttress the arrest by the security agencies is required for further probe. He spoke to Baba Otu.
Have come to play in terms of the causes of the fire outbreak at the various markets in Accra and Kumasi. And for now, there is no scientific proof in terms of finding out any of the causes that is pinpointing one particular cause and to say that this is the cause of the fire outbreak. But as it is, the sequence that it has taken, the fact that it has happened within a short period of time is what is now raising eyebrows, which tends to lead to the suspicion that then there are some people or a particular person who has made it his purpose to raise all the market down. So we are hearing that some experts from the U.S. have been brought in to see whether they can find out the cause of the fire and perhaps even look for culprits. Now, if they've been able to arrest some people, then they will have to prepare a charge and look for evidence that will point to the fact that the people they have arrested are the people who have caused the fire.
A law lecturer at the Ghana Institute of Journalism, Osei Kujuru Ado, talking to Baba Otu. We'll be right back with more stories.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news continues. On the international front, Nigerian police have raided a home in the southern state of Abia and freed 16 pregnant young women who are allegedly being forced to have babies to be offered for sale for trafficking or other purposes. The police say they have arrested a man suspected of running the home, adding that he was arrested on similar accusations 2 years ago, but it was unclear what happened to the previous case or why he had been freed. The operation was carried out by the Department of State Services, a domestic intelligence and police force, where 16 expectant mothers aged between 17 and 37 were found.
The mayor of the Ugandan capital, Kampala, says he has been beaten up by police who fired rubber bullets to disperse a crowd of his supporters. Mayor Arias Lukwago said he collapsed after tear gas was thrown into his car. Police deny mistreating Mr. Lukwago, a critic of President Yoweri Museveni. The opposition says the government is trying to stifle dissent. In a separate incident, opposition leader Kizza Besigye was arrested for holding an unapproved rally.
More than 1 million people are reported to have taken part in protests in about 100 cities across Brazil, the latest in a wave of anti-government rallies. Violence erupted in many places, and an 18-year-old man died when a car drove through a barricade in Sao Paulo State. Protests began more than a week ago over high transport fares that are also highlighting corruption and the cost of next year's Football World Cup. President Dilma Rousseff has called off a trip to Japan to deal with the crisis. Mrs. Rousseff is also to hold an emergency meeting with her cabinet today to discuss the unrest.
A Swedish court has sentenced a man of Rwandan origin to life in jail for his part in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, in which about 800 people were killed. Stanislas Imbaninandi, now a Swedish citizen, was found guilty of taking part in several massacres of ethnic Tutsis in the 100-day genocide. He is the first person in Sweden to be found guilty of genocide. We will be right back with more.
Now to football. Reigning African champions Nigeria suffered their first defeat against Uruguay at the ongoing FIFA Confederations Cup in Brazil. Captain of the South American side Diego Lugano put his side ahead in the 19th minute after connecting a pass from teammate Diego Forlan. Chelsea star Mikel Obi restored parity for Nigeria after beating two of his markers in the 18-yard box to fetch the equalizer in the 37th minute to end the first half 1-1. But Nigeria succumbed to pressure from the Copa America champions with just 6 minutes into the second half when striker Diego Forlan finished off a well-rehearsed attack with a thunderbolt strike to seal victory for the Uruguayans. Meanwhile, world and European champion Spain demolished Tahiti by 10 goals to nil to top Group B with 6 points. Tahiti have so far connected 16 goals and scored only one in their 2 matches played at the tournament. With these results, Nigeria will have to beat Spain in their last game to secure qualification to the semifinals on Sunday. Still on football, Ghana's Black Satellites will today open their campaign at the 2013 FIFA World Youth Championship against France in Turkey. Coach Selah Tete will be hoping to replicate his historic feat after winning the world title in 2009.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The fourth annual Civil Society Review of Natural Resources has asked governments to ensure effective implementation of policies to protect the country's natural resources. New recruits of the Ghana Police Service have been warned to disabuse their minds of seeing the service as a gold mine. Nigerian police have raided a home in Abia State and freed 16 pregnant young women who were allegedly being forced to have babies to be offered for sale for trafficking. And a Swedish citizen of Rwandan origin, Stanislas Imbaninande, has been sentenced for life for his involvement in the 1994 genocide in Rwanda. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Samuel Essa in Accra.